Welcome to the Knit More Girls podcast, a mother-daughter knitting production. This is episode 89 and has been sponsored by Abstract Fiber and Pearlescence Yarns. This week's segments include On the Needles,
Events,
A Contest,
Mother Knows Best,
When Knitting Attacks,
and Straw into Gold. Come on, let's chat.
Welcome, welcome. If this is your first time listening, welcome to the show. And if you're a returning listener, welcome back. How's it going, Mom?
Excellent, lovey. How are you?
I am in a fantastic mood.
I can see.
So let's get into it and talk about what we're working on this week.
Okay, what are you working on?
Well, sadly, when we were drafting up our outlines for today's episode, I realized that I'm project monogamous, which will make for what I thought would be a very uninteresting episode, but that's not the case. So I have been just working my way through the Seneca sweater. I have been blasting my way through it.
You have.
I finished up to the armholes, I think, Thursday, and I'm still working. So that's the whole thing, is I'm working during the day between, you know, 8 and 10 hours or whatever it is. And then I have the evening after I've done all my house stuff to work on my sweater. So I got up to the armholes on the Seneca by Thursday. I had the sleeves done by really late Friday night. Mm-hmm. So, because you knit the sleeves up to the underarm-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And then you yoke it up. You attach it at the yoke and you knit up, and there's a cable and then a round of decreases and then another cable and then another round of decreases and then another cable and then some more decreases.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little bit in the collar.
Mm-hmm.
So, three cables, collar.
Three horizontal cables.
Yeah, and they're super fun to knit. I'm actually really enjoying the knitting. And it's out of my handspun, which still smells amazing. And I was making people sniff my sweater at knitting yesterday because it's so delicious.
That was a totally strange knitting thing at the coffee shop.
It was really strange. Like, everyone had questions about our knitting yesterday.
Everyone meaning other customers who just walked up to us.
Yeah.
And talked to us.
It was more apropos for Kipping It Real. So, right? Because Jackie gets approached a lot about her knitting. Mm-hmm. So.
It was really embarrassing, though. Everybody was knitting on something interesting and challenging, and the teenager was working on gloves. And here I am with my dishcloth blanket.
It's a very respectable dishcloth blanket.
It's garter stitch. It's easy. It's mindless. It's not showy. But the yarn is very nice.
It is. I actually really like it. I think it's very cheerful.
But we have nobody with babies coming up to give it to.
If you build it, they will come.
Okay.
So I've heard.
Yes.
So yeah.
Knitting in public was interesting.
It was. And they asked if we were a club or if we were competing with each other or anything, which is the funny thing because the Knitting Olympics is all about competing with yourself, right? So, but sort of with other people, if you're me.
So how is your Knitting Olympics project coming along?
Oh, so that's right. So Friday night, I finished the sleeves. I attached them Saturday morning, and I got about halfway through that first cable Saturday, which is a lot of knitting because you go and you increase your stitch count by 40% for this one cable. So those rounds take forever. And it feels to me like I'm not making any progress. I'm not getting anywhere. And
you've knitted shawls.
I have, but this is just, it's different because it's so many stitches. It's over, like, it's like 340, 350 stitches, something like that. Like, you start with 200 and then add a bunch more or something like that. The math is rough. I'm not giving you exact numbers because I don't have my pattern in front of me. But anyway, so it feels slow, but I'm getting faster at turning the cables, which is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, I love cables. I love how they look. I love everything about them except turning back cables. So I don't mind when they're in front because that's easy and you just let your little cable needle flop in front and you're okay. But in back,
cross in back?
It feels like I need a third hand. Or it did. So what I've been doing is I've been using the Leslie Wind cable needle. We reviewed this. We'd been podcasting maybe 3 or 4 months when we reviewed the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the tool that I have used the most out of, I think, after Chibi's stitch markers and my snips,
mm-hmm.
the Leslie Wind cable needle is what I use the most. I'm actually thinking about getting one in sterling silver because I really like it. And this is just a simple brass one, and it's just lovely. I totally recommend it. Mom didn't care for it. I love it. It's the best thing ever because I also haven't lost it. So it's like my theory for expensive sunglasses.
Yeah, usually the main problem one has with cable needles is in the middle of your project, you misplace them and they're either hiding under you or in the folds of your clothes or
tucked behind your ears or in the top of your hair.
Or they have seriously run away.
Yeah, and these come with this little silk baggie. And I make sure when I'm done using it, I put it back in the silk baggie and then back in my tool bag because it's a nice tool. It's like my ginger snips. I don't mean to drop names, but you know how when you have something a little bit nicer, you just pay attention a little bit more?
You take good care of your good stuff.
Yeah, and that's how the Leslie Wind cable needle is for me.
So it stays nice.
Yeah, and I love it. And she's got little doohickeys on them, and I have a plain one because I like plain stuff. But I have been wearing that thing, and I'm wearing it on my chest, and I don't have to dig around for it, and I don't have enough hair to tuck at my hair anymore, which is what I used to do when I have when I had long enough hair to have a ponytail.
The hair that ate San Jose, yes.
Exactly. Because I'd have my hair up, and then I'd just kind of stick my cable needle through the top of my hair and grab it when I needed it. And of course, when I'm looking for it, it wouldn't be anywhere. And then I would do something and touch my hair and I'd
pat your head.
Exactly.
Here, needle.
So I'm getting better. My relationship with back turning cables is improving. So that's good. And it's coming together. It's starting to actually feel like I might be able to finish in time because I'm losing 4 days. Because of stitches. So.
Yeah.
And I'm not taking time off work, so.
And you shouldn't apologize for using good tools.
No.
Good tools make all the difference.
They can.
When I started sewing, the teacher had us buy ginger snips, trimming shears.
Yeah.
That have about a 2-inch blade. And dressmaker shears, which have a 6 or 8-inch blade.
I think they're 8. Yeah.
And those things are expensive.
Yeah.
And she let us know when there was a sale on scissors and shears, I think at Fabricland at the time, which is another fabric store that's not in existence anymore. And
oh, well.
The difference was amazing. The difference when you cut fabric with your old scissors from home.
Yeah.
And I had Fiskars, which were...
They're not bad scissors. They're perfectly serviceable.
They're very nice. But the Gingers are amazing.
Yeah. And I was apologizing for name dropping because I hate being like, oh, I'm working with blah, blah, blah. You know? But it's important to know what the things are that people recommend. And Mom's a big Ginger fan, so by extension, so am I. So there you go. I love my little Ginger snips, and I have a set of dress shears too, so... But the point was that I've been taking extra good care of the cable needle because it's like special and a good tool and whatever. So yeah, so I'm really enjoying working on it. I'm making good progress. I'm enjoying working with my hand spun. I'm 2/3 of the way done according to my yarn. So
2/3 done with what? Your
with my sweater? Yeah. I mean,
only
assuming
2/3?
I mean, not really. I had 6 skeins of hand spun altogether so far to use, and I'm on the end of the 4th skein. So if I use every yard of the yarn I've spun, I'm 2/3 of the way. But I think I'm actually a lot closer because I think I'm in the top third, to be honest.
So two-thirds of the yarn, how much of the sweater?
Mystery. I don't know.
Not a whole lot.
No, just the yoke. And then it's done.
That's not a whole lot.
But I'm enjoying it. I'm hoping to be able to wear it at stitches, but we'll see. I'm not going to kill myself to try and do that. So, I mean, that's the one thing I keep reading is people are getting hand pain or their hands are starting to hurt and they're still knitting. So please don't push it. If you go and do something else for 20 minutes, your hands don't hurt, I promise. So, because that's how I've been breaking up my knitting time is getting up and doing something else. So, yeah. How's your Olympic knitting going?
Not as spectacular as yours, Lovey. She's sitting there smiling. I am done with both sleeves of my Philosopher's paint your own sweater.
Cool.
So the sleeves are done. And so what I should be doing tonight, maybe, hopefully,
when we're done recording.
Casting on for the ribbing and make the body of the thing. Mm-hmm. Now, they have directions for knitting cardigans and knitting pullovers. Mm-hmm. And San Jose, California isn't warm enough. It's too warm for me to have a sweater that stands up to the Canadian cold.
Yeah, I wore mine as a coat. I didn't make a pullover. I made a cardigan. Mm-hmm. And I wore it as a coat in college. And I wore it on a coat on nights such as this. It's actually very rainy outside, so you might hear the wind chimes going because we forgot to pull them down before we started recording. But the thing I like about the Philosopher's Wool is that it's not the softest wool. And I want to say it's like Suffolk sheep or something like that. It's not a soft breed.
Let me give you a food analogy.
Yes.
I was thinking about that. And my cardigan that I worked on before, the classic slant cardigan by Deborah Newton, I'm knitting out of the Venezia, which is a worsted weight, and it's silk merino, mm-hmm. and it's by Cascade. And I think that's sort of like chocolate mousse. It runs through your hands, mm-hmm. and you just want to pet it, and it is very soft and smooth and silky.
And that's the Venezia.
That's the Venezia. And I was petting my philosopher's sleeves and enjoying the rough texture. And I was thinking, this is not chocolate mousse. This is like a loaf of nice rustic bread
with a good nice crust.
Yes.
That is the best analogy ever.
Do you have any of this cheese left in the kitchen?
We totally do. But anyway, I'm sorry. Mom raised me to love crust. Good, you know, chewy, crunchy bread.
That's a German thing.
It's a great analogy because it's not the softest thing ever. But I think it still has some of the lanolin in it. Mm-hmm. And it comes in great colors. And it's really, I mean, I wear it as an outerwear thing. I wouldn't wear it against my skin. I wouldn't make a really tight-fitted pullover out of it. But
it's not, the patterns aren't made for a tight sweater. They're all loose and to be worn over something else out in the Canadian winter.
Exactly. So I think the next one I'm going to make is going to have some shaping, though. Because I might have to mess with things. But, you know, but that's how I do it. But I'm mm-hmm. so excited, and I'm actually really enjoying how your sweater's coming up.
Oh, thank you.
I have a bit of envy because Mom's sweater's going slowly because she has basically
nap time.
Well, it's not just nap time because, you know.
She's making me nap.
You need naps. It's okay. But you have something going on every row.
Almost.
Basically. So every fourth row you get a plain round or something like that?
No, every fourth row I need to do an increase, which I won't need to do on the body. It's knitted straight up and steeked. And otherwise, in between the rows, there's like one row, one plain row every few rows. And for the rest, it's two-handed knitting.
Yeah, and that'll slow you down. It'll slow anyone down. But mine is one color. Mm-hmm. And I have long stretches of stock in it and then short patches of slow. Mm-hmm. So it's just apples and oranges, that's all.
And naps.
And I think you're making really excellent progress. I don't think you should get hard. You shouldn't get down on yourself.
I'm not.
Good.
But I was also thinking that I don't want to have a button band. I don't want to have a pullover. I wanted cardigan-y, but I don't want to do buttons and a button band.
What about these things?
The hook and eye closures?
Yes. I made a hand gesture at Mom and she knew what I was thinking.
No.
Because they have the metal claspy things.
I know they have the metal claspy things.
You don't like them?
And my kit for the Kalim jacket, mm-hmm. which I will knit in the near future, hopefully, mm-hmm. or next winter when it's cold.
We should knit them together. I have one kit. I have one of those kits, too.
One of those kits?
Yeah, one of those kits.
Oh, I
forgot. One of the Kalim sweater.
You have a Kalim sweater?
Yeah, it's in denims. It's awesome. I even started it. I think I'm on the body now.
Okay. So I was thinking that I don't want buttons. I don't want hooks. I don't want it solid. And I'm seriously thinking about putting a zipper in.
Okay.
Because I need to be able to open, to have an open garment if it's that heavy. Otherwise, I'll get too hot, despite the fact that I'm always cold.
Yeah, I think a zipper's a great idea.
Yeah, nice, sturdy, big zipper.
And now that we have the video camera, we can videotape how you do a zipper when we get around to it. But Mom has to finish her sweater first, so.
Well, since it's a two-person endeavor,
mm-hmm.
you would need to do the pinning while I do the wearing of the cardigan.
Can't we just use Venus?
The dummy?
She's not a dummy. She's
the dress
a bust.
Form. We'll see.
Okay. But yeah, tentatively we'll see. But it's really exciting. I think a zipper's a really good. I think that's
you
a
like
good change.
Idea?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, what else are you working on?
I finished my Hey Jude socks out of my handspun.
When did you do that?
It was one of the nights before bed because I was on a thinking part for the sweater and I didn't want to haul it into the bedroom because I know I'm competing in the Olympics and I know I should be more project monogamous because I have four less days than I thought I did when I thought about my project.
Mm-hmm.
But I had less than an inch and a half of toe left to go, so I just did it in bed one night this week and I wore them yesterday.
Okay,
and I loved
you did.
Them. They're beautiful. The leftovers are on the table. I got to figure out something to do with all these leftovers. There's like three little half-used balls of hand-spun sock yarn on the table, so.
How many ounces?
I don't know. I got to weigh it.
Okay.
What else are you working on? Sweater, baby blanket?
Booth sweater.
Oh, that's right.
But we are going to talk about that in When Knitting Attacks.
Ah, okay. Well, then never mind. Are you working?
So far, I've been assembling the sweater.
Awesome.
And the dishcloth blankie, which is, it's like carbs. The dishcloth blankie is like carbs.
Yeah.
It's not exciting, but you need a good, solid foundation of something.
True.
Yeah. Okay.
I have one more thing that I'm working on, actually. And we still have stuff we need to talk about.
Okay.
I cast on, I like to have a sock in my purse, even during the Olympics, and something I can work on while we're recording. So I cast on another sock out of handspun. This is me using my good stuff.
This Jasmine 2010?
Yep.
Use your handspun?
I think this was 2009, actually.
Was it?
Yeah. But okay. I still have handspun, so I'm still doing it. This is Crocodile Walk by Crown Mountain Farms. It's greens and tans and browns, and I really like it. And I'm doing the vanilla sock with a Cynthia variation, which is a 3-1 rib down the leg.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very much enjoying it. So that's what I'm working on when we record, because I'm, again, on a cable round on my sweater, and it's a lot of me looking at my knitting and making faces and counting. So do you have any other knitting before we talk about the other stuff in On the Needles? We have a couple of small things we need to mention.
Nope.
Okay. We have set up our interviews for Stitches next week. Oh my gosh, not even next week. This week.
We meaning Jasmine, usually while I'm napping.
I get a lot done when you're napping. So, but we set up the interviews and we're super excited. And we have a repeat interviewee whom a lot of you guys asked for. We will be chatting with Galina again. And Galina wants questions. So she wants to be able to answer questions as opposed to just telling stories. So she needs a spring off. A springboard point? A starting point.
Starting point.
So we have a thread in the Ravelry group where you can go and ask questions that you would like Galina to address or answer, and I'll let her pick through them and just answer the questions that she wants to answer. So that's one exciting part where we mm-hmm. are doing the interviewing. And then we have something that's a little bit different. A couple of weeks ago, Susan Dolph from the Knit a Journey podcast spent a morning with us over the computer on Skype chat, and we did an interview for the Knit a Journey podcast. Mom and I did together.
Yeah, she interviewed us.
Which was awesome.
Which is strange.
But super fun.
It was fun.
And her podcast is really great and very interesting. So if you haven't listened to Knit a Journey yet, please do give a listen. I'm not just, you know, saying it because we're on there, but definitely give her a listen. I was actually listening to her solipsism episode. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah, it's correct.
But I was listening in bed because we have an alarm clock and I have it set up to wake me up to podcasts because it's a very pleasant way to start your day. and I drifted off to sleep, and I dreamt that Susan and I were buying buttons and discussing existentialism. So do give her a listen, and I hope you enjoy her podcast as much as we do. Do you have anything else for On the Needles this week?
Nope.
Alrighty, so let's move on to the next segment. But first, a quick word from our sponsors. Abstract Fiber will be at Stitches West in booth 642. We've got Hedonism in a very limited supply of gorgeous jewel tones, plus new colors in every fiber, our new lace yarn Hepburn, and chocolate candy for when you need a little pick-me-up. There's seating nearby, so come hang out with us and see what goodies we've brought you. See you at booth 642. So, events. We have Stitches West coming up this upcoming Thursday through Sunday, which I think is the 25th through the 28th at the Santa Clara Convention Center. And Mom will talk about our meet and greets.
So we are having two meet and greets. One is on Friday from 12 to 1.
Yep.
Per lessons?
Nope, abstract.
Abstract. And the other one is on Saturday from 12 to 1 for per lessons.
Yep.
And come by, say hello, chat, get a goodie bag.
And let me tell you, these goodie bags are epic.
Oh. Yeah. Jasmine dragged three bags of yarn in.
Don't spoil what it is, but it's something we've talked about a lot on the podcast. It's a favorite sock yarn of ours.
Andrew almost fainted when he saw you coming in with that much yarn.
He did.
And as she was fanning Andrew, who had passed out on the floor, and she was saying, "It's okay, honey, it's okay. It's for the listeners. It's for the goodie bags."
So it was pretty funny. We've got some phenomenal stuff, some coupons from a couple of our sponsors. So, you know, it's so you don't have to break your bank at the show. You can always shop afterwards, too, and save a little cash. So
stretch your budget, actually.
Exactly. So we're super excited about that. Do come say hi. Please don't be too shy. Please come say hello. We love it.
Jasmine is the one with the wild pink hair, and I'm generally within arm's length.
Yep. We'll be there all 4 days of the event, floating around. So if you see us, come say hi.
And if you see Jasmine purchasing yarn, you can snicker at her because she said she doesn't need any more yarn. Famous last words. So keep your eyes peeled and point and giggle if she buys yarn.
Not to sound too cliche, but you are the meanest mom ever.
Did I ruin your life?
You're ruining my life. Okay, so we should move on to the next segment. Alrighty, let's talk about the UFO Finish Along contest. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so we extended our contest until the end of March because with the Ravelympics and Stitches, we didn't feel that people had enough time to work on UFOs. And people includes us, too.
Totally. Yeah.
So you have one more month to work on your UFOs.
And I'll announce what the prizes are for this contest after. We'll announce what the prizes are after Stitches. So
excellent. In a couple episodes. We may have more prizes. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
We may have more prizes after Stitches.
Exactly. So please post your stories in the thread, which I will link to along with everything else we talk about in this week's episode in the show notes. So, yeah, we'd love to see what you're finishing and hear your stories. So this week for Mother Knows Best, we're dipping into the what do you want to hear about thread, so keep posting. And we found one that we hadn't addressed yet. Mm-hmm. And so Knitloon asked about different types of shoulder seams. She said, "I really like the look of a three-needle bind-off, but how do I go about making changes if the pattern calls for a stepped shoulder?" Which is an excellent question.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to go first and then?
Sure. Three-needle bind-off is very sturdy.
So do you want to talk about how to do a three-needle bind-off first for anybody who might not be familiar?
Okay, so for a three-needle bind-off, what you're doing is binding off two pieces of knitting at the same time and seaming at the same time. So if you have a front and a back of a shoulder,
mm-hmm,
for a cardigan or sweater, you hold the needles parallel, and poke your needle through the first stitch in the front and the first stitch in the back and pull through and pull the stitch off the needle and do it again.
And you've made that first stitch two stitches into one.
Mm-hmm.
Do it again.
Do it again. And then you take the first the stitch on the right hand of your right hand needle and pull it over the stitch next to it.
And off.
And off.
So it's a really cool seam. It's very controversial.
Why is it controversial?
So here's where I'm going to chime in. There are a bunch of different ways to finish shoulder, and everyone has their own opinion about what the best way of doing it is. The one thing that seems to be the consensus that everyone can agree on is that the shoulder seams of your sweater are where the most stress is on your garment,
mm-hmm.
because that's where all the weight hangs off of is off of that shoulder seam. So one school of thought, when I took the class from Rick Mondragon from XRX and Knitters, mm-hmm. he talks about doing one solid bind off all the way across the shoulders, across the back of the neck, and across the other shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So you have one continuous strong seam. So it doesn't matter how your shoulders are shaped, but you do that last seam in one piece. And he's a big fan of the three-needle bind-off,
mm-hmm.
which I was too.
Or at least he was 15 years ago.
Oh, my God. It wasn't that long ago. It was 10 years ago, maybe? Oh, 12 years ago? Oh, well, anyway, a few years ago. So I don't know if that's still the case, but that's what he said in class a few years ago. So like 2 or 3 years ago, I was talking to Sandy from Pearlescence, and she pointed out that if you do a three-needle bind-off with the yarn that you're already using, if something happens, like one of your stitches gives up, then your sweater will run.
Yeah.
Not from one side.
But from both.
Exactly. So she said that, and I was like, oh, no. That's terrible. So her suggestion, if you're going to do a three-needle bind-off, was to pull a separate piece of yarn mm-hmm. and do it separately. But better than that, she prefers to just bind everything off and then do a seam all the way across,
mm-hmm.
which is, again, another way of doing it. It's just different. Do you want to talk about how you like to do your seams and on your shoulder seams?
Well, I'm working on Booth sweater,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just doing a mattress stitch across.
Yeah, a nice tidy seam.
Which is fine. Another way is having a stepped bind off.
Yeah.
And trying to fudge a seam across as best as you can without having like little bumps.
Well, a really well executed stepped shoulder, they'll line up on the front and the back.
Yes, but you still have steps.
That's true.
Which I don't like. Another way of doing it is short rowing.
Yeah.
So, but 2 rows before you're supposed to do your bind off, you do a short row for the amount of stitches that you are supposed to bind off.
Mm-hmm.
And you just leave the stitches unknitted on the needle and you knit back and then come back and leave other stitches, the next set of stitches unknitted, the next set of bind-off stitches until you're done. And then, so you, in essence, have a stepped shoulder,
mm-hmm.
but with all the stitches still live. And then you need to bind them off,
mm-hmm.
which gives you a smooth bind-off edge.
Okay.
And you can still do your grafting
mm-hmm.
or three-needle bind-off smoothly. Now, I tried to do that with the shoulders for my classic slant cardigan
mm-hmm.
and couldn't make it work. I think it had something to do with the ribbing.
Okay.
That my head wasn't in the right place.
Yeah.
So, and I definitely didn't want my shoulder to be all stair-stepped.
Mm-hmm.
So I did something that I got from the Coco Knits website.
Mm-hmm.
And what her thing is you wrap the last stitch of your bind off instead of knitting it.
Okay.
And then do a wrap and turn.
Interesting.
Which gives you a smooth edge when you're knitting.
That's really clever.
It is.
Super clever.
It's very clever. So I really liked it, and it gave my shoulders a smooth edge that will be very easy to seam when I get around to finishing it.
So what's your preference for shoulder seams, just out of curiosity?
I think the cocoa knit seam at this stage.
Okay.
How about you?
Well, that's short rowing, but not actually seaming. Does she have a special seaming technique?
It's not a real short row. You bind off, but for the last stitch, you do a wrap and turn.
Yeah, but what's your favorite way of turning two shoulder seams into one? Do you have a preferred method, or does it just depend on what you're working on?
I think it depends on what I'm working on.
Cool. Good to know. I don't think I've done anything that's required grafting shoulder seams in a really long time.
Honey, when you have something where you need to have shoulder seams put together...
I totally outsource it. You're right. Never mind. that's why I can't remember. I'm like, I don't even know when the last time was. Okay, cool. Good to know. Alrighty, let's move on to the next segment. But first, a word from our sponsors. Stitches West is less than a week away. We at Pearlescence Yarns are making our final preparations for a wonderful Stitches weekend. Be sure to come by our booth for the meet and greet with the Knitmore Girls on Saturday and check out the Chic Knits patterns, new designs for the show, loads of beautiful Cascade yarns, including the Venezia worsted Gigi raves about, many perfect choices for the Mondo Cable Cowl.
It's when knitting attacks!
Alrighty, Mom, do you want to go first this time?
I will do that. So, I've been working on Boo's sweater, and we talked last time about me lining it with China silk.
Mm-hmm.
And so I lined one sleeve, working on it intermittently to reduce stress on my back, and it took better part of a day.
Yeah.
So it's very labor intensive. And that was one tiny sleeve, and so I would have had one more day for the other sleeve, and two for the fronts, and two for the backs.
Easily.
And I don't mind putting a lot of work into a garment that will be spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a couple of drawbacks. First of all, couture technique on something that a child grows out of in a year or two.
Yeah.
And won't be able to wear for the better part of the year doesn't seem a good use of time.
Mm-hmm.
Also, how long did Boo wear her button sweater?
A couple of years.
Okay, the thing is, wool is very stretchy.
Yeah.
And knitted garments have a lot of give, and so because it was knitted, it could stretch more.
Yeah.
Putting a lining into this garment will take away the stretch.
And it'll give it structure, yeah.
Will give it structure and will take away the stretch, and she won't be able to wear it as long.
That's true.
Because the stretch factor is taken out.
Yeah.
So I spent some time taking out all the lining that I put in so carefully the other day.
And you know what? That's part of the process, is figuring out when is a good time to use the techniques and when it's not really a great use. Because I'll admit I was nagging Mom just a little bit to get it done because I...
A little bit?
Oh, come on. I'm keenly aware of how quickly this child is growing. So, you know, every time I see her, she's like a foot taller. So, no pressure. But yeah. But it was beautiful, and so Mom is seaming it up so I can do the attached I-cord and the collar and get some pictures of it on her while it's still cool enough to wear it. So,
So this is made out with
seed stitch.
Seed stitch.
Yep.
And I made sure that I marked the outside of the garment so I would not seam it with the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
And I seamed I put a stitch marker on one of the fronts so I wouldn't make a mistake, and seamed that shoulder and then moved to the other shoulder and promptly seamed it inside out.
It happens. Sometimes to some of us twice.
Yeah. So anyway, that got pulled out. And since I used a different piece of yarn, I didn't have to worry about pulling out knitted stitches. So instead of using up the live ends, I took a new thread, a new piece of yarn, and used that for seaming. And that's a much better technique.
Awesome.
The seams aren't lying flat, so some steaming needs to happen at one later point.
Yep.
And I also seamed the sleeves, and am busy attaching the sleeves to the body.
Awesome. I think it's going to be beautiful on her.
It will.
So that's exciting.
So, did you have your knitting attack, you?
So, my knitting attacks is more logistical, because I was so smug about how well my knitting is going.
And what happened to Smuggy McSmuggerton?
So my sweater's fine. My knitting is totally fine. However, guess what we completely forgot to mention?
What did you forget to mention?
I forgot to talk about the Mondo Cable cowl that we're going to be doing starting March 1st. So I knit a Mondo Cable cardi while Mom was in the hospital because we were planning on doing a knit-along with Mom is going to do the Mondo Cable pulley, and I'm going to be knitting another Mondo Cable cardi. That's how much I like it. I'm going to knit another one. So the one I did, I made out of the Abstract Fiber Miro, and I love it, and I've been wearing it everywhere. So Abstract Fiber Pearlescence Yarns and the genius Bon Marie Burns, who is Chic Knits herself, are all offering our listeners a knit-along discount on materials. So Abstract Fiber and Pearlescence are offering 10% off of your materials for the sweater. And I think Bon Marie is offering 20% off of the patterns. And I'm really excited to mention that. I've got the discount code on the show notes, so please go check that out. And yeah, it's going to be super exciting. We're casting on March 1st. So that is going to be really, really awesome. The coupon codes, if you're listening next to your computer, are MC Cardi with an I and MC Pulley with an I. And I'll put these both in the show notes under the little Chic Knits logo. And I'm so excited. I think it's going to be so awesome. This is one of the most wearable things I've ever made. So
seriously?
Yeah, I've been wearing it all week.
That I noticed.
So I haven't put the buttons on yet. Like, that's how excited I am to wear it. It doesn't have buttons. It doesn't matter. So, and the one I knit, it's in the Twilight colorway by Abstract. It matches literally everything I own.
And your hair.
Well, and my hair, but that's a bonus. So I'm super excited about that, and I'm totally lame for not remembering that earlier. I've been overwhelmed. The Olympic fever has caught me. So, has your knitting attacked you another way?
Well, not my knitting so much as my blocking.
Oh, dear.
So, January, about 2 years ago, I started my Icarus shawl.
Yep, I remember.
And it got done, and it had been languishing in a basket waiting to be blocked.
Yep.
And since I decided I would like to wear some shawls to stitches, I thought I better get that thing blocked. And some time ago, I had a brilliant idea, because I really don't like to work with wet knits, wet fabric. And in order to wet block a shawl, you have to get it wet. So I thought, what about if I get it threaded onto my blocking wires while it is still dry, and then soak it for 15 minutes.
Okay.
And then I have it on the blocking wires, And all I need to do is slap it on the blocking board and pin it in place.
But your blocking wires don't fit in the sink.
No. So I was thinking and spinning my wheels, and I thought, what? We would need something long and skinny.
Mm-hmm.
And filling the bottom of the bathtub.
Seems a bit wasteful.
It's wasteful. So I went to one of the home improvement stores,
mm-hmm.
and for a whopping $3, bought a wallpaper trough.
Interesting.
The things that people who do wallpaper fill with something or other.
Probably wallpaper glue.
I think they fill it with water, and the wallpaper has glue applied on the back already.
Oh.
Because if you dunk your wallpaper into glue, the front will be sticky too.
True.
So I brought home a trough. That sounds terrible.
A wallpaper trough.
A wallpaper trough, and filled it with water and soap. And then sort of wiggled the blocking wires into it. And it was not a perfect fit, despite the fact that the wallpaper trough was plenty long.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to squish together the shawl on the needles to get it submerged.
Okay.
So, well, that sort of worked. But not as well as I had hoped.
Mm-hmm.
Squeezing the extra water out while something is on wires is also awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Got that done and then dragged it to the big blocking board that I had set up on the dining room table.
Mm-hmm.
And the dimensions of the Icarus were supposed to be 36 by 36 by 72. It's the Pythagorean theorem of right-sided triangles.
Mm-hmm.
Something.
A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
Exactly. So I put it on the board, and at 36 stitches...
36 inches.
36 inches, it was all scrunched up, and you couldn't see the pattern.
Mm.
You couldn't see the design.
Mm-hmm.
So I went up 8 inches,
mm-hmm.
and put... So what I did is I put a pin in the apex...
Mm-hmm.
So I could measure straight up.
Yeah.
And so 36 inches wasn't enough, so I made it...
Wait, straight up the triangle? Down the center?
No.
Okay. Straight up the edge?
Yes.
Okay.
So up the edge from the tip.
Either the adjacent or the other side that is not the hypotenuse, right?
Yes.
Aha.
One of the short sides.
Yes.
So... 36 inches was way too short. 42 was still too short, so I went up to about 58 inches.
That's pretty big.
Yeah. So now the dimensions are 58 inches by 58 inches by a lot.
By a lot. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I remember, well, because you made it out of the Misty Alpaca lace, which is a very fine
mm-hmm.
lace yarn. So
it's pretty. Oh, and I thought I have to really stretch it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really stretch it. I just tried to make it big enough for the design to show, because if I had stretched it all the way out,
it would have been enormous.
It would have been the size of a wedding shawl or something.
That's too big.
Definitely.
Didn't the yarn harlots turn out pretty big too? Because she's roughly our size.
You know?
Maybe it's not the shawl that's too big. Maybe it's the knitter that's too small. Could that be?
Dynamite comes in short sticks.
It does. You're right. I'm just remembering, because I read that, I think, ages ago, that it was so big. So, that's a bummer. What are you going to do?
What am I going to do? I'm going to wear it at stitches.
Okay. So you're not going to let the hugeness of it affect how you're wearing it?
No.
Okay. Good for you.
It is what it is. And I was beating myself up thinking that maybe I knitted it too loose. And if I had knitted it more tightly, it wouldn't have gotten so big.
Possibly, but on the flip side, if you knitted it more tightly, it might have ended up a really weird shape. Or too small. Did you do a gauge swatch for it? Do you remember?
I'm sure I did.
Well, there you go.
So, and I'm looking at the rest of my shawls, thinking, when am I going to block those?
This week, it looks like.
How many days do I have? Not that much.
Three.
Okay. So, yeah. And that is my knitting and blocking attacking me.
Well, awesome. Let's move on to the last segment. Alrighty. So, because of the Knitting Olympics, my poor spinning wheels have all been completely neglected. However, while I was digging through the What Do You Want to Hear About thread, I saw a post that I can answer without having done any spinning. So Hollyberry asked what I do with the leftovers of a fleece when I'm done spinning for a sweater, because oftentimes a fleece is not just a one sweater fleece. It's got quite a bit of weight. And I'd say on average the fleeces I buy are between 6 and 8 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
and how much do you need for a sweater?
Depends on the sweater.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually call it about 1.5 to 2 pounds just to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
But I tend to need about 20 ounces for a sweater.
Okay.
And if it's a finer gauge sweater, less weight. And the answer to this is it depends. So if it's a fleece that I'm totally enamored with and I love spinning, I might spin more and then over dye the finished skeins.
Mm-hmm.
I might sell it off to friends in the knitting group because, interestingly enough, after you've spun from a fleece and knit a sweater out of it, it's not that hard to get rid of the rest, to be honest. Because people see it and they often say, do you have any left? If you have any left, would you let me know? So that's one way of doing it. There's the First Sailor Trade Threads on Ravelry. I've swapped a little bit of fleeces that I wasn't totally into.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else was really excited about. So I've done that. And sometimes just letting it sit in the stash, it'll find the right person. I had a girlfriend who was looking for colored fleeces.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd mentioned that I'd just gotten a whole pile of them. And they were all huge. And I was happy to sell off as much as she wanted because they were all huge. And I had more than enough. Even if I'd sold her half of every fleece that I'd gotten in, I still had more than enough for a sweater. So that's what I do. You need to figure out how much weight you need for a garment. And a few episodes back, I talked about taking a look at commercial patterns and kind of estimating how much weight you're going to need based on what the commercial finished weight of the sweater is, and then rounding up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
For human error, because we are human and we do error. So yeah, that's a really good way of starting. And you also have to be realistic about the weight of the sweaters that you want to be knitting for yourself. If you love to knit chunky sweaters, it's pretty unlikely that you're only going to need 1 pound of fiber, because if I knit a fingering weight sweater, I think I could get 1 out of 1 pound. But
it's very thin.
But it's very fine. So less weight equals finer needles.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also a great way of stretching your hand spun if you're not entirely sure if you've got enough for a big, heavy garment. If you weigh how much weight you have, look at your pattern. And then, I mean, of course, this is assuming you don't spin and ply immediately, assuming you spin everything as singles and then figure out what you're going to knit at the end and then ply for that project, which is what I do. So there we go. That's what I do with my leftover fleeces. This week, we'd like to thank show sponsors, Abstract Fiber and Pearlescence Yarns, our supporters, but most importantly, you, our listeners. Absolutely everything we've talked about in this week's episode can be found at the show notes, which are located at knitmoregirls.blogspot.com, and you can send any comments, questions, or feedback to us at knitmoregirls@yahoo.com. Please remember to get your unfinished object contest submissions in by the end of March, and feel free to join in on our Mondo Cable Knit Along. We are very much looking forward to it, and you can find the discount codes for Chic Knits on our show notes. Remember, this is Jasmine
and Gigi
telling you to knit more.